Many of us are bent over carrying yesterday's pain because of something that took place that has not yet been addressed with the biblical principle of forgiveness.
Dr. Tony Evans says extending forgiveness may be the only way to free yourself from past hurts.
When you forgive, it no longer destroys your day, destroys your week, destroys your life because you made a decision to forgive.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God's forgiveness is a gift, but Dr. Evans says the grudges we hold toward others can prevent us from receiving it. Let's join him in Matthew chapter 6 as he takes a look at the prayer that leads to pardon.
We've all seen a dog on a leash. We've often seen it try to pull away, but it can't because it's being held hostage by a rope or a chain. Or if you've ever seen an elephant in the circus, many people don't know how the elephants are trained to perform, but when the elephants are babies, a chain is put around one of their legs and they are controlled so that they learn to get so used to the chain that when the chain is removed, they're only good now to perform because they still feel the chain even after it's been taken off. Many people live their lives with a chain around their soul, and the chain is called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness functions as a chain to hold us hostage to what happened yesterday that is destroying us today and ruining our tomorrow. There is nothing like unforgiveness that can keep you and hold you hostage day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. Reminds me of the story of the two monks who were about to cross a bridge, and they came across a crippled woman, and she was unable to cross on her own, and they offered to take her across. They hoisted the lady up on their shoulders and walked her to the other side of the bridge. They then released her and they kept going. But one of the monks kept walking with a bent back. His friend looked at him and said, "Why is your back bent?" He said, "Well, we were carrying the woman who was crippled across the bridge, but I see you're not bent over." He said, "No, because I gave up on her 5 miles ago." Many of us are bent over carrying yesterday's pain, regret, fear, frustration, betrayal, addiction, disappointment, and we are living our lives bent because of something that took place that has not yet been addressed with the biblical principle of forgiveness. Many relationships here and everywhere are in crisis because one party was unable or unwilling to forgive the other person. There are other families that are afraid because parents haven't forgiven children, children haven't forgiven parents, or other relative structures have broken down. The racial crisis in America continues to plague us because of this issue of forgiveness. At this point in the Lord's Prayer, He says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." After talking about hallowing His name, submitting to His kingdom and yielding to His will, and having gotten the provisions of God, He says, "Now, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So the question that we have to ask is, what does the word forgive mean? Because a false definition will lead you to a false conclusion. First of all, let me make this inextricably clear. Forgiveness is first and foremost a decision. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is first and foremost a decision. You need to hear that one more time. Forgiveness is first and foremost a decision. Now, why am I telling you that thrice? Because it is not first and foremost an emotion. Forgiveness is not first and foremost how you feel. While it does not ignore how you feel, it is not the definition of forgiveness. You decide to forgive or not forgive. Your emotions have to catch up with that decision. But if you define forgiveness as an emotion, then it will be determined by how you are emoting at a particular moment in time to determine whether you have forgiven. So let's establish the fact that forgiveness at its foundation is a decision. What kind of decision is it? It is a decision to relieve a person from an obligation or a debt incurred by a sin or an infraction against you. When you decide to do that, regardless of where your emotions may be at a certain given time, you're operating on the biblical definition of forgiveness. In the prayer, it said, forgive us our debt. Why? Because sin rings up a bill. The word debt is the word for incurring a bill. When you go to the store and buy something, you get a bill. There is a charge you are expected to pay for the bill that you incurred for the thing that you bought. When we sin against God, we incur a bill. That bill must be paid. It either must be paid by you or somebody who pays the bill for you. But sin, infractions against God, incurs a bill. That's why he says, forgive us our debt, because you incur a debt to God when you sin. So the first part of the prayer says, forgive us our debt, or cancel our bill. The bill that I have accrued because I have disobeyed you, rebelled against you, sinned against you, I want you to clear my record, to push the delete button for my failure, to let me off of the hook. Now, let me clarify. Forgiveness does not mean excusing, ignoring, justifying, or pretending that the thing didn't happen. It does not mean that I just dismiss reality and pretend what did happen didn't happen so I can feel better about what happened. Because that's not being honest. In fact, you can't forgive unless you're willing to acknowledge the truth of what occurred. Forgiveness deals in the reality, not the dismissing of the reality. But it deals with having a debt paid for an infraction committed. Now, at this point, we need to clarify the kind of forgiveness we're talking about. There are two types of forgiveness when it comes to our relationship with God. Because the first part of the prayer is, forgive us our debts, because you're praying to God. The first kind is legal forgiveness. The biblical word for legal forgiveness is justification. Yeah. Justification means to be declared righteous. It's a courtroom term where the judge declares you not guilty for a particular crime. When the Bible says we are justified, God in heaven declares us legally not guilty for the infractions against him. But the reason he declares us legally not guilty when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ, is because God credits the righteousness of Christ to our account. Jesus on the cross paid your bill. Jesus on the cross paid my bill, which allows God the Father to credit us as not guilty, not because we're not guilty, we are guilty, but because the debt that was incurred by being guilty was picked up by the death of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who paid the penalty for our sin. So that's legal forgiveness. That's what every person gets when they accept Jesus as your personal sacrifice, as your personal sin bearer. You get a credit on your account, which declares you to be innocent legally. That's an eternal issue settled when you come to Christ for salvation. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about legal forgiveness because he's now dealing with your relationship with your Father, our Father who art in heaven. So you're already a child. You're already a son or daughter of God. So he's dealing with another kind of forgiveness. He's dealing with relational forgiveness. Legal forgiveness is settled forever when you come to Christ. But relational forgiveness is conditional. Legal forgiveness is, have I accepted Christ? Relational forgiveness is, am I in fellowship with my Father? When we sin against God, we break fellowship. We are legally bound, but we're not intimately connected. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he says, if we, talking to Christians, if we confess our sins, we enter into fellowship. In fact, that's what the whole book of 1 John is about. It's not whether you're a Christian or not. It's whether you are in fellowship with the Father. In fact, that whole first chapter says, and the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from our sins. But not sins to go to heaven, but sins to be in fellowship with the Father while on earth. That's relational forgiveness. So a lot of Christians live a long time out of fellowship with God because they are on their way to heaven, but they are refusing to deal with the mess in their lives and get forgiven for God's intimate fellowship with them on earth. So God not only wants to be the Savior who takes you to heaven, but the Father who fellowships with you on earth. So this is a fellowship term. So forgiveness means that God cancels out the thing that's breaking up the intimacy that he wants to have with you.
When Dr. Evans returns in just a moment, he'll have more about two different kinds of forgiveness and the different roles they play in helping us grow closer to God. But first, I want to let you know we put all 8 full-length messages from Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer, in a collection of CDs and in a digital download package, along with God is More Than Enough, his popular book about living your life based on the 23rd Psalm. Both of these life-changing resources can be yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's messages coming your way. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and take advantage of this special offer before time runs out. The alternative is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so we depend completely on you to keep this important work going. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you again after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
Guess what? God is so kind that he's giving eternal life away. You don't have to earn it.
Right now, join Tony Evans' Kindness in the Culture campaign and spread hope. To get started, aim to do 1 act of kindness each week. Then ask to pray for the person you help and share the gospel through our kindness cards. It's that easy. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture.
We can spread kindness throughout the land, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and make an impact in our culture to change the atmosphere that is so desperately needed today.
Let's return to our message now. Here's Dr. Evans.
Now, how do you know when forgiveness has occurred? Forgiveness occurs when you're not seeking to retaliate against the person who offended you. Many people say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, actually, that's okay, because God doesn't forget. What the Bible means by forgetting is not forgetting the information, it's forgetting the pain that it was caused by the information. In other words, Joseph, when his brothers sinned against him, He says in Genesis 41, verse 51, God has helped me to forget what you did to me. But in chapter 50, he brings it up again. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So he never forgot what happened because he brings it up in 50. But he forgot the impact that it had on him. So it didn't have the same impact. So even though you may remember when you see that person or see that situation, what happened 5 years ago, when you forgive, it no longer destroys your day, destroys your week, destroys your life because you made a decision to forgive. One of the reasons it stays destructive is we've kept forgiveness as an emotion and not as a decision. Once you make a decision and it's no longer an emotion, then emotions don't decide about whether forgiveness has occurred. The decision has made that for you. So, forgiveness is the cancellation of a debt, whether or not you remember what happened or remember the details. It is the cancellation of a debt for a sin and infraction that was committed against you. I want to first talk to you about two categories. First is unilateral forgiveness. Unilateral forgiveness is forgiveness that you grant even when the person hasn't asked for it. Why would you give unilateral forgiveness? Nobody said, I'm sorry. Nobody's repented. And you forgive anyway. Unilateral. You just do it on your own. Unilateral forgiveness is given, one, because the issue is so small. In other words, it didn't matter. They did wrong, but you don't care because it didn't hurt you that much. And it's something you can forget. So you don't even care if they say, I'm sorry, if they repent. So that's unilateral because it's so small. Another reason you would do unilateral forgiveness is the person refuses to say, I'm sorry, refuses to confess, refuses to repent. They say, I ain't going to repent. No, I'm kind of glad I hurt you. I'm glad I did it. So they refusing. Another one is they can't repent because they've died. They hurt you when years ago, they've since passed on, so they can't make amends, even if they wanted to. They can't because they're not here. Or maybe you don't even know where they are anymore. So even though you're still hurting for it, they've moved away, they've gone somewhere, so they can't repent. If you don't do unilateral forgiveness, then you'll stay hostage to something that can never be fixed because they've died, they've gone, or they're never going to say, I'm sorry. Unilateral forgiveness is to set you free. It's to forgive what happened even when the person is not sorry about what happened because you don't want to be held hostage by what happened. So it sets you free. Let me try to illustrate it this way. I'm driving down the street and a man, I'm in my lane and he comes over and swipes the side of my car. Just the whole side of my car, he swipes. But he keeps going. Exactly. He kept going. I mean, he sped off and turned in off a side street and he kept going. He swiped me and he dented the whole driver's side of my car. I was hot. Christian hot. So I ain't cuss. But I was hot, one, because he swiped me, and two, because he didn't have enough decency to pull over. So I'm evangelically ticked off. I'm hot. I opened my car door, and the whole side, the whole driver's side has been dented and the paint torn off, so now the car is ugly on that side. I'm driving the car to work every day. People are telling me, your car is messed up. Your car is dented. Your car is scraped. And I'm telling them, yeah, I know. I know. And I'm telling them the story. this man pulls and swipes me on the side and pulls off. Another day, I run into somebody else, and I'm telling them the same story. And not only am I telling them a story, but every time I get in my car, I see the story. Because it's all, the dent is all upside of my car. I go for weeks with a dented vehicle, basking in the pain of my dentedness, being reminded every day of the infraction and the sin that was committed to me on the road. Until one of my staff reminded me, you know you got insurance. I had gotten so comfortable with my dent that I learned to live with it. Until I reminded that even though he was not sorry, he did not repent, I'm still covered. So I've been driving a rental car that's been provided because of the insurance that I have to take care of the debt that I had learned to live with, because I was so busy being upset about what happened to me, I didn't take advantage of the solution to heal the dent in my car. Many of us are living our lives with dents on our souls. We've been carrying that thing around for day after day, week after week, year after year, and we keep seeing this dent. If he hadn't done it to me, if she hadn't done it to me, if they hadn't done it to me, if I hadn't done it to me, if we just see the dent, we tell everybody about the dent when Jesus Christ has provided you insurance. And the insurance he has provided is the decision to repent. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is being stoned to death. In Acts chapter 7, they've come out to destroy him in verses 54 to 60. And they're not repenting. They're not sorry. They're stoning him to death. And in the middle of being stoned to death, he says, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this to their account. But they are stoning you. But I'm not going to let their stones remove God's work in my life. I'm not going to let their stones. And what did he see? He saw Jesus standing on the right-hand side of the Father. Many of us don't see Jesus because we keep staring at the dent. We don't see the insurance policy of God's grace at work because we won't do unilateral forgiveness. That's where you forgive when there is no apology. They aren't sorry, but you decide, I'm going to not credit this to your account, even though you're guilty. Once you unilaterally forgive, then vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay.
Dr. Tony Evans, with an important examination of the biblical principles set in motion when forgiveness is offered. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of today's lesson to review again or to share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Pardon of Prayer, but you can also get it bundled with 7 other messages in Tony's current teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. And for a limited time, we're packaging the entire collection along with his popular book, God is More Than Enough. They're all available to you as a thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution to keep his messages coming to this station each day. You can get all the information on this special offer, make your donation online, and instantly download the messages in this series at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. None of us have what it takes on our own to measure up to God's standards. But Dr. Evans says that's not the end of the story. And tomorrow, he'll tell us how the Lord makes up the difference for us, if we let him. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.